Click the accept button if you want to follow the session. I think that Zoom is doing a good job of muting my fan, but if you hear wind, you can tell me I'll turn off the fan, though there's 32 degrees in here. My name is Stefano. I'm the HRA for EP. I also am backup for the other units in RCS, so I look a little bit after RCS in general. Maybe Levin, you want to introduce
Yes,
yourself?
of course. So my name is Levin. I'm HRA for SE, IR, and pension funds. And I have the same remark as Stefano. I currently have a fan pointed to my face because of the heat. So as soon as it's disturbing, just send a message and I'm happy to put it off.
I think your technology is helping us. I was staring at my microphone before, and it really zeroes out the microphone somehow magically. Okay, so the idea of the session is not very long. It's about an hour, and in here we try to give you as much as possible practical information about the LD2IC exercise. We'll then try to answer questions. If you want, you can also type questions in the chat. We'll try to address them at the end. If you have questions that are more personal about your own situation, then I rather recommend you contact your HRA later on. Okay. So this is the agenda. We start with a little bit of framework, policy, legal background. I promise I'll do that quite quickly because then we move into the more substantive part of the process. We'll look at the IC positions, how they are drafted, how they work. We'll look at the process of applying, what you're supposed to do, what the deadlines are, and then we'll look at the interview part and the outcome, which we call CCRB, which stands for Central Contract Review Board. Those are the people that will carry out the interview and write recommendations at the end. Now, the framework again, the first two part, staff rules and AC2, basically just say that we are hiring our people on a limited duration contract, and that we may grant some indefinite contract to people with a limited duration contract. The positions are usually proposed by the department heads. They go in a big memo to the director general, who usually endorses them, approves them. That's her role. She may sometimes question them, change them, etc. These positions are meant to go all together in organization-wide exercise, which we open once a year. Now this part a little bit at the bottom of the slide is a little bit more interesting because from the framework we get the eligibility criteria. So the first thing, you need to be a staff member with an LD contract, as we have said, to be able to apply and be eligible. You need to be of one of the member state nationals. So unfortunately, no associate member states and no non-member states. You have to hold a limited duration contract with an end at least at the end of 2024, 31st December 2024, or later. You have to have successfully completed your probation period at the time that the vacancy close. Actually, here I have 31st of August 2024. This year, the vacancies, we will see they close on the 30th. Applying for a position with a benchmark job that is covering the same or a higher grade span of your own benchmark job. This is a bit mumbo jumbo, but we will go in more detail when we look at the vacancy and what a benchmark job is so that you know which ones you're eligible for or not. This is again all the links. I want to ask you to, open them or save them, but there is one that I think is useful if you plan to apply. This presentation is saved in Indico, and I would recommend that you go find it, open it, and then at least if you're planning to apply, open the admin guide and save it on your browser. Inside the admin guide, you have frequently asked questions. And you have a lot of other usable information that we will go through today, which is written in a way to be more easily digested. Yeah. There's also some documents on the side that will be useful for you. So it is definitely a good link to save for you. Remember that here you have the link to the CCM, which is the CERT competency model, which we will see later is important to prepare for your interview. Now, quickly, the process. In July, we have worked a lot with the departments to draft vacancies. And these vacancies have been put in Smart Recruiter and then posted in an internal page. We will see the page later, as of 1st of August. There were already two sessions for candidates on the 11th, 23rd of July. We have recording somewhere in our intranet. And this is where we stand now on the 13th of August information session. The deadline, as I was saying before, for application this year is not the 31st, it's the 30th of August at noon, lunch 12 time in Geneva. Why is it on the 30th and not on the 31st? Because we tend to have almost every year some last minute drama with someone who cannot log in or a system that is not functioning well. And so we want to be in the office when the application is closing so that we can help you at best if something isn't working. And the 31st is a Saturday this year. In September, we will shortlist the candidate. In the very first part of September, ideally by the 7th or the 10th of September, we have done all the shortlisting. We do then invitations to candidates in the remaining of September. And then starting mid-September this year, quite early, actually 16th of September, we start with the interview boards. We say they go until the end of the year. We really try very hard to complete everything before the closure, and if possible, even a little bit earlier. Yeah. Now, let's before we dig into the very concrete part of what you're supposed to do, etc., let's step back one second and look at the exercise with a little bit of perspective. CERN is a very desirable place to work because has achieved many things, and there are a lot of smart, motivated, competent people here. So it is necessarily getting an IC here a competitive exercise. There's a limited number of ICs every year. We cannot retain everyone. And so bear in mind that this exercise is by its nature competitive, and that in a way there is something to be proud already in being here with an LD contract, being able to apply for a long-term contract. But you have also to consider that even though we would like to keep usually all of the people we interview, we cannot sometimes, and that only some of the people that apply will get an IC. What is the value of this process then for everyone? The most obvious is that some people will get a long-term contract, but there is also a value a little bit in preparing and seeing a little bit where you are in your career. It is very interesting. You will see when you start to draft your vacancy, it is difficult to decide what to put in your, your vacancy, your presentation. It is difficult to decide what you put in your presentation and what you don't. Because obviously, if you arrived here, you've done a lot. You have achieved several things, you cannot put in a 15 minutes presentation everything that goes there, but it is a good moment to think, what are the key things that I achieved in my career? How can I reflect them? And in a way to reflect on your career, what you have achieved so far and what you think you want to do in the long term. It is also a stressful exercise. It is a lot of energy and time that you will invest. It may stress a little bit the relationship inside teams, especially when you have more people applying. We ask you to stay positive, to be respectful with everyone, the people you like and they will apply, and the people you like less and will also apply. They all are trying to do the same things. They all are trying to continue their career at CERN. There is no good in letting this exercise ruin relationship in your team and with your colleagues, etc. So please remain positive and respectful, and also remain focused, of course. Remain focused on what you want to achieve. Do not just try. Sometimes I hear people saying, "Oh, I'm not sure. I'm gonna just try." No, prepare and try to get the job. Don't just go there seeing what happens. Practice, be focused, and try to do the best of this exercise. Now, into the weeds. This sounds a really boring slide. Seems like a very boring slide, but it will be useful with the next two to understand how to prepare. Yeah. So the job requirements are listed in the vacancy, and you should apply only if you, in good conscience, feel that you meet all the job requirements. The vacancy is divided in different parts. At the top, you have the title and what we said before, the benchmark job. Then there's a generic part of introduction and specific functions right below. The functions are what the hiring manager will expect the selected person to do in the foreseeable future. Then there is a part that becomes more important to you. Obviously, everything is important. If you don't like the function, you probably shouldn't apply. But qualification, experience, and competencies are key to prepare. Qualification is basically the education or equivalent requirements that we need for this job. If you don't meet those, you will not be shortlisted. Experience and competencies as well are key for us to shortlist the right people. Yeah, they are have explicit requirements here, and we will see in the next slides how to understand better. It's relatively easy to understand if you qualify for the experience, for the qualification, for the technical competencies. A little bit less maybe for behavioral competencies to understand how to prepare for the interview. So we'll go through that soon. At the bottom, there's also a part on employment condition that explains a little bit if this position requires to work at night or to do shifts, etc. And there is what we were saying before, the benchmark job with the grades. So to make an example, a position of applied physicist is 678, and that is the benchmark job title, which is applied physicist, and the span is 678. So if you are a 678, you cannot apply for a job whose benchmark job is 456 or 345. You can apply, though, for instance, for a computing engineer, 678, because that is the same. And the same way, if you are a technical engineer, 456, you can apply for an engineer role, so above 678, but you cannot apply for a technician role, 345. If you have questions, you can put them in the chat and we'll try to address them at the end. Someone said that my microphone does noise, so I'll turn off. Thank you for the comment, the fan. Let's look at that part of the competencies. I told you before in one of the slides, you have the link to the CCM. Here you have it again in a more printer friendly version. Basically, it is a set of values, competencies, behavioral and technical that frame a little bit how we do most of career management events at CERN. In this case, you will have 14 technical competencies. They are written in here. I go back and forth. Yeah. So this is easy for you to prepare. It will literally say project management or contract management, something like that. Or I don't know, analysis of Monte Carlo, something, something. Yeah. And, so it is easy there to understand a little bit how to prepare and if you qualify or not. It is a little bit less evident how to prepare for the interview for the behavioral competencies. There are 10 behavioral competencies, and on top of those, there are five leadership behavioral competencies. Yeah. These are all tied to some values of CERN, and you will need to do a little bit back and forth when you prepare in looking what behavioral competencies have been added to your vacancy. You can go in here and click into this link. A printed version, printer-friendly version of this will come up, and it will show for every competency a list of a list of behaviors that you can demonstrate. There are like two fulfill the vacancy, and a list of behavior that instead does the opposite. So I really recommend that you look at the vacancy. The link is here. All the vacancies are currently posted. In order to click on this one, you have to be logged in with your single sign-in login. Sometimes I see it's a little bit buggy when you click first and then you sign in, it brings you back to the homepage. So go back after you sign in, right-click here, you will see all the vacancies. Click on the vacancy you mean to apply. You will see the behavioral competencies, technical competencies, and the experience and qualifications. Make sure you meet the criteria. And then, when it is time to prepare, read the behavioral competencies. What are the good behaviors to fulfill and show that you have those competencies, and prepare examples for your presentation. I think Lieve will go more in details in that. This is three examples in a vacancy you could have. Only, and this is the majority of the vacancies, only the 10 core competencies. You could have a mix of leadership and core competencies, or you could have, for senior positions, only leadership competencies.
That's me.
Okay, very good. I
So,
was looking forward to that. Yeah.
thanks, Stefano, for that information already. So let's dive a bit into the application itself. All right. So you see this 6 minute, 60 minute alarm clock there. We put it there because, in essence, it's important that you prepare very well the material in advance, because Smart Recruiters doesn't have a save button. All right. So if you're inactive for 60 minutes, Smart Recruiters will log you off, and you need to restart. It's not an issue if you're prepared, because if you're prepared, meaning you have the documents ready, it will only take 5 minutes to apply, to get you through the application process. Okay. So when I say make sure that you're prepared, make sure that you have everything ready, it means we need an updated CV, updated resume in PDF format. Often we get the question, how long can this be? Can I add all my publications and so on? You can make it as long as you want, but please be reasonable. All right. Don't make it a 20-page CV, because it will be heavy for all the board members to read as well. Second document you need is a one-page document, a one side, even in PDF, stating your motivation and your current function. You can have your first your current function if you want, and then your motivation, or first your motivation and then your current function, or you integrate both of them on the same paper. It's all right. You choose. The most important thing is it's a one side in PDF, and that you have those two documents ready to apply. Again, as Stefano said, very important, the deadline is the 30 of August noon. So by lunchtime, you should have applied. Make sure that you're not one of these people that try to apply very last minute. Every year we have some issues of people that have computer starts updating, or they have another technical issue. When you're too late, you're too late, unfortunately. It's better, in my opinion, to apply a bit in advance. And if you have a change that you need to be doing, you can still adapt, modify your application on your application profile, which I will show later. If you upload more than the two documents, we will always use the document that is upload latest. All right. So it's better to do it like that. Another important thing that you need to be doing now, or maybe already have done, is identify your two referees. Okay. So this, we say now already, you don't need to upload them during your application process. This is only done after the shortlisting. But your referees might need a bit of time to write the reference. Okay. So make sure you identify them, and I'll come back to that later. So if Stefano can now go to the next slide. Yes. So here you see the URL where you can see all the vacancy notices. As Stefano mentioned, they're already published since the 1st of August. You see them on the left side. You see the list of all the positions. There is another column there if you open the website, right? So as Stefano said, you log in via your NIS account, so single sign-on. There you see the list of vacancy notices. The last column there are the foreseen dates for the board, right? So block this moment already in your calendar to make sure that you have enough time. Book the full day, I would say. It can, however, be that we have some small last minute changes, then we're gonna ask you to be flexible. There is a huge amount of work being done because of the by the people of the planning, with the board members and so on. So we actually need a bit of flexibility there, but you can see already the foreseen dates, okay? So if you browse this list, you can select any of the vacancies that you're interested in. If you click on them, you can see, as the screenshot on the right shows, with all the different paragraphs that Stefano already mentioned, you can apply to different positions. If you're interested in multiple positions, you can apply, but you need to have completed applications for each and every position that you apply for. Okay. The moment you click, I'm interested, this is when the 60-minute submission deadline starts. So this is the moment you need to have your CV and your motivation and description of current function ready. Okay. Then, if you press the green "I'm interested" button, you will see the next slide, which shows the application form. So this application form is just 2 pages. Okay, we don't need you to complete everything, but just some small parts. So the first part, the easy apply, you don't need to use. This we normally use to parse information from the resume, but now we just use your resume, so it's not needed. The next part, very important, of course, first name, last name, CERN email address. You need to confirm your CERN email address, and you need to provide us with a valid phone number where you're reachable upon. Okay. So think about whether you're residing in France or in Switzerland. Make sure that we can reach you at all times. I mean, we're not gonna call you in the middle of the night, but make sure that you're reachable, because this might be an important call and we might call you outside the office hours as well. On the next slide, you will see the second page, the second half of the first page of the application form. So the fields of the web, like LinkedIn, Facebook, any other of the socials, we don't need any information. Resume, you can add there, but you can also add it on the next page. So up to you if you want to add it there or not. Message to the hiring manager, there's no need to add any other information there. It will not be taken into account. Okay. As soon as you're ready with this first page, you press next, and then you go to the second page. Here you can add, most importantly, your motivation and current function. You label them as motivation underscore your name. Same for your resume if you didn't do it before. So you label them as CV underscore your name. And then we ask for your CERN ID. That you can find on your badge. It's the number underneath the CERN logo. Then we also ask again the CERN email address, your benchmark job title, which you can find on your merit, that you can find via EDH. And then confirmation that you provided your resume and confirmation that you provided your current function. So as soon as you did this, there is only a few other statistical questions that you can see on the next slide. We're asking birth year, gender, nationality, and second nationality. And as soon as you did this, you can submit your application. If you're not happy, you can go back, or you want to double check, you can go back to the first page, but then the information that you listed on the second page will be lost, and then you need to refill them. As soon as you're ready and happy, you press the submit button and you will go to the next slide. There you see one pop-up that will come. All right. So there's a pop-up that will say your application is submitted. So this means that your application is fed into Smart Recruiters. And you will also receive an acknowledgement email, which may take up to one day before you receive this. Okay. So as soon as you see this pop-up form and you receive this acknowledgement email, after one day, the latest, then you know for sure that your application went through. Then it takes up a couple of days, maybe 1 week maximum, for you to get another email from Smart Recruiters, stating that you're eligible or when you're not eligible. If you're not eligible for the post, for the reasons that Stefano mentioned earlier, you would first get a phone call from an HRA explaining why you're not eligible, and then you get an email as well. In that email of the of your eligibility, you can see there is a link to the reference template, and it's not only the reference template, but it's also there's also a guide that you can send to the referees that can help them providing nice references. Okay, so this link you can send to your referees. And then the last URL that you can see on that email, so on the bottom line on the right, if you click that, you can enter your application profile. And an example of that you can see on your next slides as well. So this is an example of an application profile. You can check, for example, if the attachments went to collect correctly. So this is a moment to check. When your references are uploaded, you can see them here as well. You will not be able to read them, but at least you know that the references went through correctly. So when you applied the first, so by the 30th of August by noon, the only things you should have there are your resume, CV underscore your name, and motivation underscore your name as well. Okay. Then the application went through, and then if you go on the next slide, you can see that the shortlisting starts. So this means that after the deadline, all the applications will be reviewed. On the above paragraph, you see the official shortlisting criteria. So in essence, this means that for each candidate, for each application, it's the HR representative and the departmental representative, which is most of the time the group leader. They're going to check the technical competences, the qualifications, and the professional experience that you showed in your resume and your motivation, if they correspond to the requirements that were put in the IC position. Okay. If you're shortlisted, the next steps are, well, first and foremost, you will be invited for the interview. So you will receive an email stating, congratulations, you're shortlisted, you're invited for the interview that will happen on this date. You need to provide now all the additional documents. And those documents are, first and foremost, three last performance reports. So the merits, three last merits, you can find them via EDH. We also put there that you can provide your mid-end probation report. This is only in the situation that you're not long enough at CERN, let's say, and so you don't have three merits that you can provide. In that case, you can also add to your file the mid-end probation reports. And you add these reports by replying to the shortlisting email. You just reply, you add your three merits as attachments, and then they're attached to your candidate profile automatically. Or another way is to go to your candidate profile yourself and then add it there as attachment. Either way is good for us. Then you also need two reference forms. And I will come back to that later. But for these additional documents that you need to provide, the last day is 15th of September, end of the day. But in case that you saw that the date of your board is in September or the beginning of September, we're going to ask you to provide these additional documents a bit faster. Okay, so we say 9th of September, but preferably as soon as possible. In the case that we ask you to provide these additional documents sooner, we will inform you properly. All right. So we will call you, we will maybe check with your references to put a bit of pressure. So to make sure that also the board members have enough time to go through all the documents. If you're not shortlisted, you will be informed by your HRA as well, and then you will receive an email. Then on the next slide, I will go in a bit more. Yeah, the next slide, really. This was another. Oh, yeah, thanks. So I will dive in a bit on the references more. So the aim of these references is to provide the board members with complementary information on your application. Okay. So we have already your point of view based on your resume, based on your motivation and description of your function. Then we also have the point of view from your merit supervisor with the three merit reports that you provide. So the references is really to provide additional view of someone else. You need two references per position, and think of someone who is able to write relevant examples of work situations, highlighting your competences in light of the VN. Okay, so think a bit strategically on someone that can provide nice examples. One referee must be an active CERN staff member, and the other one can be external to CERN. If it's outside, so external CERN referee, make sure that you provide all the documents, like the competency model and the reference form, via PDF for a Word document, because they will probably not be able to access the links. Some people are not recommended or not allowed even to provide a reference for you. Merit supervisor, it's not very smart because we already have the three merit documentations from them. Head of HR, the department head of the opening post, the CERN contract review board members, and the CCRB chair, which is Caroline Lefebvre, all of those are not authorized to provide a reference for you. So how do you know that someone that you want to ask for a referee is assigned to your board? Well, you simply ask them, right? If they say, "I cannot because I'm involved in the board," and you need to ask someone else. The references are due by 15th of September, and it's your responsibility, okay? It's the referee that need to upload the reference, but you need to drive this a bit, okay? And then, as I said, formal deadline is the 15th of September, but sooner if your board is planned before. And like all documents, the sooner the better for us. On the next slide, you will see a bit more information on the reference again. So the middle document is an example of the reference form. So first field there is your name. The second there is a VN reference. The VN reference you can find between brackets on the title. So the title of the job position, there between brackets, you can find the reference of the position. So that you need to complete there. And if you open the presentation that we put in the Indico, here you can click on this reference template link. There it opens the CDS documentation. So there you can find the reference form via Word document and then these reference guidelines for your referees in PDF documents. So provide them the link so they can start working on your reference already. And then as soon as you're shortlisted, you can see the last part there. It's up to the referee to upload it thanks to the dedicated link that you will get. All right. So the moment you're shortlisted, you receive this link and you need to provide this link to your referee and they need to upload this. Okay. And then you get a notification of this as well. The content of the reference form you will see on the next slide. So the first part is a reminder of the context, explaining your relationship with the referee. So it's a free text where they explain how much they worked with you, in which relationship you work together. Then they need to provide at least one relevant example that shows highlights your work. Then we ask the opinion of the referee on your long-term potential. So again, free text area. Then we have a structured table evaluating certain behavioral skills. And there we ask at least two areas of strength and one area for improvement. So this didn't went through properly, but we'll change it on the PDF link to this Indico later. So we ask two areas of strength and one area for improvement. Okay. And then the last part they can add is additional comments to provide a bit more comments. Okay. So on the next slide, you find an overview, just an example of the reference form, the reference template as well. So this is an older one as well, because you can see you can consult the CERN competency model, of course, but then there will also be the link for them to write access the guidelines. Okay. Yeah, I mean the rest of this we discussed on the earlier slide, so we can go to the next slide immediately. So again, for an overview of the reference process, right? So you receive, when you applied, maximum 1 week after your application, you receive an eligibility email from Smart Recruiters. If you're eligible, you will receive this link with the reference template and guidelines to write the references. As soon as you're shortlisted, so beginning of September, you will receive in the shortlist email a dedicated link that you need to send to your referees. They use this link to upload the references. As soon as they did this, you will get a notification and they will get a notification. All right. So you know it went through. So you have this and also the application form that we mentioned earlier. So you can see if the reference went actually true. And then again, it's your responsibility to make sure that your referee put uploaded the reference. Okay. And then on the following slide, it's just a summary of your application. So everything that is needed to have to be considered as a complete application is again by the 30 of August noon. You need to complete your application form with your resume in PDF and a one pager, one side of your motivation and description of your current function. And then, as soon as you're shortlisted, you need to provide the two references uploaded by the referees and then the three performance reports by answering the email or by uploading via your application profile. And this needs to be done by the 15th of September, end of day, or earlier if your board is scheduled before. And then you're ready for the board. And then I'll pass the word to Stefano again with the next slide.
And I'll turn off my fan. Thank you. Okay, so this is also quite thick. I'm sorry, there's a lot of material here, and you have the time maybe to reread and ask questions at the end. We're 43 minutes in, so I'll try to move quickly. How does it look when you are shortlisted? And who are you going to meet at the day of the interview? There are two departmental representatives. These are people that the department has nominated to sit in that board of that position. There are two panel members that are external to the department, and they come from a list that is made every 2 years by the DG. And one of these two independent, if you want to call them panel member, functions also as a chair. And finally, there is the HRA, usually, but not always the HRA or an HR representative of the department that opens the position. What is expected once you arrive in the interview? So first thing, there is again an assessment made of the technical and behavioral competencies and of the long-term potential of the person in the organization. Again, here we're striking a balance between needing someone that for the foreseeable future have to do a certain job, but also hiring someone for a long-term position. So we also try to assess how this person can evolve and change in the long term in the organization. The interview is 45 minutes in total. We start with 15 minutes presentation that you give, and then we follow with 30 minutes of question and answers. Sometimes questions about the presentation, sometimes technical question, sometimes behavioral question, as we said before, and sometimes question on your plans for the future and how do you think you can evolve in the organization. We do an assessment for the DG. We'll see soon later, and we send a recommendation to the DG. This is based not only of the on the 45 minutes interview, but on all of the documentation that we have in the candidate file, which is the information you provided in Smart Recruiter, the CV you uploaded, your motivational statement with the functions, the last three performance report, the reference letters, and if need be, the board members can decide to go and gather additional information, which usually are gathered from the supervisor, the group leader, the department, the spokesperson, whoever we deem inside the organization that can have information that are useful for us to make the best possible assessment. After this, so we've seen a little bit the timing. Sorry, you prepare your presentation and you do your presentation in 15 minutes. Ideally, you do it in the language you prefer, you're more comfortable with, but we will do pose some questions in the other language. So English and French being the two language of CERN, if you give your presentation in English, it is sure that at some point we will ask you a question or two in French. Again, the questions will be of on different nature. I think I mentioned most of this thing before, and we will finish the interview by asking you if you have any questions for us. The full interview will be 45 minutes with a very little flexibility to be, let's say, to give an equal treatment to everyone. Presentation. Now, the important part of the presentation is it is, as I was saying at the beginning, basically nearly impossible to put someone's CV in a presentation that has to last no more than 15 minutes. So it is necessary that you choose a little bit what to present. Remember here, if you put too much stuff in the presentation, you probably achieve the opposite of what you want, which is not which is to highlight certain things that you have achieved and you have done. And you should make sure that in that presentation, you highlight the technical competencies, so projects you manage, achievement you had at CERN or before, also behavioral competencies. So if you have managed a team, you can explain how you manage the team. If you give presentation, if you negotiate things, if you work in a team, you can explain a little bit how and give example in your presentation in how you work and give concrete examples. Again, as I said, do not overload it. Some details are useful for us. You can put also some details in the comments. You can use any format you want. I see that a lot of people in the scientific community like to bring presentation in PDF. You can also use PowerPoint or Prezi or any other presentation tool that you like. Ultimately, throughout this, you will have a lot of people that will tell you a little bit how to do this presentation, what to absolutely put, how to behave. What we recommend is that you try to cover all of the behavioral technical competencies, also the long-term potential, your experience. And ultimately, we recommend that you just be yourself. Yeah, the best interview and the best presentation is usually the one when people can relate to you. And if you try to be someone you are not, that sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't. So our recommendation is always to try to be yourself, present what you have done so far at CERN. What happens after the board members have a series of back and forth and come up with an assessment, as we said, and a recommendation that goes to the director general. The director general ultimately makes the decision. This takes a little bit of time. During this time, we discourage from reaching out to the board members that are in a board. The board members are bound by confidentiality, and you may simply put them in a difficult situation. If you have any question that you need an answer for a reason or another, you can always contact the HR representative. The HR representative is also the only person who will communicate the outcome of the selection. So there is no good reason to ask other people. And if you hear any rumor, do not trust them. We have heard in the past rumors that were completely unfunded. So just reach out to the HRA if you have any doubt or heard anything, and the HRA will clarify and reply. Quickly, if you had to put in one slide what is going to happen after you have submitted your application, you get an email which acknowledge your application. Soon after, you get an eligibility email, or if you are deemed ineligible, a phone call and then an email. Shortly after, we will start to work with the hiring manager to define the shortlist. And then we will again email you if you are shortlisted and invited to the interview, or call you again to try to explain, even give a possibility to meet with the HRA to explain why you were not shortlisted. After that, you can upload your documents, the performance evaluations and merits, and you can forward the email to your referees for them to upload the reference letter. You also have to, especially if your board date is at the beginning of the process, so let's say second half of September, we strongly recommend. You can see the date of your board in the link that you have seen before, careers.cern/indefinite. It is in the presentation. If your board is in the second half of September, we do recommend that at the deadline of the application, you have already contacted, as Levin also said, I think, your references, and they are ready to write a reference as soon as we confirm that you are shortlisted. There are these little three dots. There's a period of suspense, and then usually within 4 weeks, it could go longer. We will call you with the outcome. Very important, if the period of 4 weeks becomes six, it happens. It does happen. It is a lot of senior people involved. There's often some back and forth to come to a final recommendation. And if someone is traveling, this is easily delayed. It's not a good sign or a bad sign if it takes us longer to get back to you. It is just a sign that there is some delay, either inherent to the process or external one, as I said, even someone traveling. Yeah. Now, if you need support throughout the process, you can always reach out to your HRA. HRA will not sit down with you to prepare your questions and answers or your presentation, but we will give you generic advice on how to complete your file, answer questions, etc. If you have process questions, there is a generic email here. If you click, hopefully you can see on my screen, ccrb.planning@cern.ch. If you had, I hope not, an accident the day of your board or the day before, or if there's a technical issue with your computer while you're trying to upload something, the CCRB team is the best one to contact. If you have technical issues, there's always the CERN help desk. Yeah. Very important, do not leave it to the last minute. It is something that happens almost every year. It is stressful for everyone. One thing I forgot to say, actually, I want to add is the day of your interview, you will be invited to come to a room, which is probably, if it is a board with me, simply my office, where a colleague of mine will be here receiving you. I will be in a room close by with the board members. I will come to pick you up. If you are driving here, we are in building five, and sometimes the board are between building five and four. There is never parking. It is a little bit better in summer or with co after COVID, but don't come 5 minutes before and start to go around looking for parking. Do the best thing for the environment and for yourself, use your bicycle, come with public transport, or if you really, really have to drive, then come a little bit earlier so you have time to find parking. Once then I come and pick you up, I will explain the next steps inside the room. Then we go inside the room, we introduce you to everyone, and then you start with your presentation. I saw that a lot of people like to bring a phone with a timer. That is also useful. If you want to keep track of your time, though the HRA may give you prompts if we see that you have many slides to go through and you're almost at the end of your 15 minutes. Sorry, I went a little bit back here because I forgot this little bit of logistic and I thought it was important. I think I am at the end of the process, so I will probably stop the sharing and see if anyone has questions.
Can ask them now or just put them in the chat as well.
Yeah.
We can reply them.
There is a question, how important it is to be fluent in the two official languages. It depends. In general, it is important. If you meet all of the criteria, and if for that job, speaking both languages is not a must, it is possible that a person can be granted an IC without being fluent in both. Ideally, the person has made some effort and that is already considered to improve their other language. In general, I would say People are not eliminated if they don't speak the two languages, but we may make recommendation if we grant an IC and someone doesn't speak the other language that they try to improve it in the future. Yeah, that's it. I would say there is not a fast
I
and
think
hard rule.
we're a bilingual organization, so it matters nonetheless, right? If you're speak the other language as best as possible, I think, even without the IC and everything else. Anything else? I cannot see any chat.
Some came to me directly.
Okay.
But now there's one for everyone. Their interview will be conducted in person. Sorry, we should have said that before. LD2IC interviews are only in person. Yeah. So there is no chance to say, unfortunately, I'm traveling this period, or I am in a golf vacation in Thailand. Can I do my interview from here? Unfortunately, not. We think that it is important. And given that it is the dates are published in advance, we expect everybody to be able to come on site.
I got another question asking if it's possible for a referee to provide references for more than one candidate applying for the same position. Okay. This is valid. We have nothing against this. So this can happen. Yeah. And my only advice there would be try to focus on yourself and not on all the other potential candidates, right? Because we see this quite often.
There's a question on the reference letter to me, which says, I saw the slides that in the last slides, the referees must select at least two areas of strength and two areas of improvement. However, I believe the model in the World 5 mentioned two areas of strength and one of improvement. Very good question. Very good question because after consultation with everybody involved, given that this is a new thing where we try to push people to give us also areas of development, it was agreed to ask for at least one. You can still give two or more areas of development, but you should give at least one now. And the reference form has been updated, and the reference guideline will be also updated. So it's only one, at least one area of development. I hope everybody appreciate that we can all improve on something, and that this exercise is also valuable for everyone to grow and learn. I have had several times at the end of the exercise, people that have been selected for an IC position approaching me and saying, "I wish I could get more feedback on on all of this work. I put so much energy, and it's great that I got an IC, but all I get is a shake of hand and a contract amendment. Instead, I found I would like to know what the board members found that I could improve." And so we're trying a little bit to have a more meaningful experience for everyone.
Then I got another question asking if a referee, if you can ask a referee that acted as a referee for you in the past, right? So someone, for example, for your fellow application or your staff LD application acted as a referee, they can for sure act now again as your referee. Okay, so that's not an issue.
Yeah, I have another question on the benchmark job application. So I'll try to clarify. Let me see if I can pull up something on. Wait. I want to pull up the benchmark jobs to show a little bit how it works and share it because I think some people are getting confused. It's probably my fault on how I explained it. So let me see if I can share this page. Every person at CERN has been placed or linked, if you wish, to a benchmark job. Benchmark job are generic job descriptions, if you wish, which summarize a little bit the basic functions that are expected with a pair from a person that is linked to that benchmark job. You can see here, hopefully you can see here, a list of the benchmark jobs, and you can see that. Can you see here the list of the benchmarks? Sorry, I have a doubt if I'm sharing the right
Yes, we
screen.
can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take an example, for instance, of the civil engineering area. Not very common, but it will work well. We have the civil engineer is a benchmark job. This is what is the benchmark job. And then we have a span. The span are three grades, six, seven, eight. So a civil engineer normally would be recruited in six, and then maybe throughout their career they could grow in seven or eight. Yeah. Civil engineering, technical engineer, it's a figure in between that exists in some countries, not in more, in all, and it exists at CERN. And a person here will be recruited at four, five, six. Sorry, at four, and then probably evolve at five, six. And then we have the civil engineering technician, which is recruited in three and probably evolving four or five. Now, if I am the civil engineer, technical engineer, the four, five, six, I can apply to any civil engineer, technical engineer, which is advertised. Doesn't matter whether it is actually, it is going to be only advertising four, five, six. Yeah. I can also apply up to the six, seven, eight, but I cannot apply down. Why is this? Because it's a little bit unfair competition, right? If a financial professional now apply for a financial assistant, it's probably going to score much better in a lot of our metrics, but that position has been reserved for financial assistants, and we don't want this to become a little bit of a backdoor for people to just want a long-term contract in a contract that most likely they would be unhappy. Same way, if you're a civil engineer, you can apply to any civil engineer advertised, but not to the civil technical engineer or the technician. You can also apply to a different benchmark job. For instance, let's assume you are a civil engineer, technical engineer, but for your career, you worked a lot with mechanic stuff. You can apply for a different benchmark job, but with the same span or a higher span. So for instance, you can apply for the mechanical engineer because it's the same span, but you cannot apply for the mechanical technical engineer technician because the span is lower. Sorry, very long explanation. I hope this
Very useful.
clarified.
And if I can just add on that, because I got a question from someone asking how the specific pay grades out of the range of the VN gets determined. So just to say, there will not be a change in salary because of you getting awarded an IC contract, right? You stay in the same grade, the same salary. It's only the contract duration that is modified. And then another question, another topic is if there are any templates for the CV or the motivation letter. We don't have those, okay? It's up to you to decide the format, what you prefer. The only thing we ask is it's in PDF for both of the documents, and then the motivation letter slash description of the function only to have one side. Okay, so that's the only requirement, and then it's up to you to decide how you fill this in. And then I see one person with the hand raised, Jean Meyer.
Yeah, that's me. Hello.
Hi,
You
go
hear
ahead.
me?
Yes,
Ah,
perfectly.
yeah. Thanks first, Stefano and Lieven, for the presentation. And I have just one question, and I think I had a similar question 1 year ago, and it confused me again. So I understand that I'm generally qualified after passing the probation period. Plus, yes, I'm still active till the end of the year, but at least I understood now multiple times within your presentation that submitting three merits is a hard requirement to say so. So is it worth applying for me in my specific case? Because as an example, I only have two merits at a certain time or right now. So thank you.
You have
So
taken this, or I. So,
go ahead.
this is one of the examples that I showed, and where it's interesting for you to add meet and end probation as well to this to your application file. There's nothing against you applying with only two merits, but I think for us, I think it's just interesting if you also add your end probation report because then you have a bit more meat in your file, let's say.
Okay.
I'm not sure, Stefano, if you wanted to add something about it.
No. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Then I received another question. If any benefits that an LD holds will be granted will be lost if granted an IC. I'm not 100% sure of this, but I think that staff LD that are eligible for international indemnity, as soon as you get an IC contract, you're seen more as local staff, right? You become more and more local because you stay longer and longer in the region. There will be a percentage of your international indemnity that is deducted every year, up until 5 or 6 years or something. Yeah. So the international
Yes.
indemnity decreases in steps.
There's two things that change when you have an IC. One is the international indemnity is in a scale that slides down to 80%, 60, 40, 20, and zero in the next 5, 6 years. And then if you are entitled to additional travel, which is this additional travel that people that have a home station more than 500 kilometers on a straight line from CERN have, that one goes away as soon as you are granted an international indemnity, a bit what Levin said. You are now able to settle in a little bit. You know you can work here and with CERN for the long term. And so certain benefits that are intended for people that are here more on a temporary basis are going to fade away. I have two questions, if I can take them, leaving on my side. Motivation letter must be focused on why we want to continue to work at CERN, or more for the motivation for the job that we are applying. That is a very good question. I'm not 100% sure I have the answer. I would say definitely why you want to work at CERN. Explain to everyone why this is a job that for most people means staying at CERN for another 30 years. So definitely explain why at CERN, but also consider there's a hiring manager on the other side that really would like to hire someone who, for the foreseeable future, will do the job they need to do. So if you're, I would use generic reasons why you like to be at CERN, but not saying I want to evolve, if you are a mechanical engineer, into a civil engineer, to use the example before, as soon as I can, so that I can fulfill my long-term dream to build whatever buildings. Yeah, because that would not make the hiring manager very happy. So try to strike a balance on both sides. Then I have another question that says, I have a degree, bachelor or engineering, but I am employed as a technician, not as a technical engineer. I can still apply for both benchmark jobs. So it is not, so we're mixing two things. One will be the requirement for education and experience that is written in the vacancy. And you have to fulfill those to be shortlisted. In terms of applications, if the benchmark job you're associated with, and here I think you're telling me I'm employed as technician, so 3, 4, 5, then you can apply to 4, 5, 6, a technical engineer, if you fulfill the requirement of that vacancy. So there is no formal reason to stop you. You're not ineligible, but you have to meet the requirement. So if your BA, your bachelor, and your experience puts you there, you can apply. You are formally eligible because you're applying a benchmark job with a span higher. And if you're qualified, then you will be shortlisted. Yeah. If you fulfill the criteria, I hope that answers. If not, please re-put another question in the chat.
I received another question regarding the seniority or the position of the referees. All right. So this is a question we get more often as well. Does this affect the score we give on the reference, or is this irrelevant? I would say it's more important how the content is, the content of the reference, right? The examples that someone can give that actually shows the work you did, a bit of how you act as a person and how you act at work, how you are as a person, that is more important than you have a reference that is a department head or a director that you met once for a coffee that cannot provide any useful information for you. So think more of the examples and of the relationships you have with the person than on the seniority or the level of the referee.
There is no formula which is grade of the referees multiplied the number of lines that the person has written. So, as Levin says, it's more how meaningful the example that the person can give are. In fact, those examples are quite quite important and quite useful. The boards usually read them carefully. Yeah.
I didn't receive any other question. So I'm checking once more.
I think there's one more for me. Wait, thank you for your explanation. I believe I understood one of my questions. Sorry, I'm reading quickly because it's a bit long. Okay, I would recommend to the person who sends me the question on the qualifications and span of the benchmark job of the technician to reach out. You can reach out to me and we can have a chat a bit longer. I can explain a bit more in details. Just to reconfirm, you have a benchmark job attached to you. You can verify that in HRT, and the vacancy has a benchmark job. Every benchmark job has a span, which is three numbers. Yeah, you can only formally be considered if you are applying for a vacancy whose benchmark job is the same span or higher. Okay, so not lower. Even if they're overlapping, if the benchmark jobs are 1345 and 1456, you cannot apply down from the 456 to the 345. Okay, but you can apply up, so same benchmark job span or higher, you can. That is the formal requirement to be considered. If you don't meet that one, we will not look at your qualifications. Once you fulfill that one, so you apply to the same span or higher, then we will look whether you're qualified. So whether you fulfill the requirement of the vacancy. Do you have the right education or experience? Do you have the right technical competencies? Basically, are you qualified substantively for that job and not only formally? Yeah. Now, another question popped up. It is obligatory, mandatory to have references. That's a interesting question. If you were unable to get any references, I don't know what we would do.
No,
it
we
would be
need, yeah, we
we
need
do,
to do
right?
references, yeah. So the application is only complete, considered as complete, if you have your resume and your motivation by 3rd of August, and then that you have the three merits or mid-end probation and two references by 15th of September. So only then you're considered as a complete application.
I would want to say usually would expect someone that is applying for an IC to be able to get a couple of references. Yeah, you consider you can also get references from outside. Yeah. Yes, you can use anyone that you think can give a good examples on your behavior, technical competencies, potential in the long term. It doesn't matter if it is senior. It doesn't matter if it is the only thing we discourage actually is the current supervisor. You can still do it, but we think we have so much material already from your current supervisor, which is normally the person who is doing your merits, and sometimes is in a way is not the best person to add information for us, right? Consider we are looking at a matrix of documentation and we want to confirm a bunch of things. It is very useful for the board members to say, in his merit, they say he was in charge of this project, and is the reference letter. This other person says, oh yeah, he delivered very well, he was on time, it was very nice as his colleague to work with him on this project. Yeah. Any other
question?
No, so I think I can turn on my fan again and my
and stop
turn
the
off
recording.
my microphone and stop the recording. Yeah.
Thank you all for attending this session, and we wish you all the best, of course. And if there's still anything left, you can reach out.